Okay, so we're going to try to see how much we can cover in our last session today on Bikur Cholim. Obviously, there is endless more things to talk about. I did about six or seven parts in the Yengizel Woodmere. It's online on Yitorah if you want to listen to the parts we don't get to tonight. But there's so much more to talk about that are not directly related to Bikur Cholim, but are things that those that are going to be in the industry of Bikur Cholim, whether it be with family, whether it be with friends, there are things you should be aware of. And we're not going to get to it all tonight, but we'll jump around a little bit. I want to just finish the booklet that I gave you last week. There's a page 3 that we're up to. The page 3 is what we're going to talk a little bit about some shailas that come up with the hospital. And this is... there's no more. Oh, I have. I'm sorry. Right over here. So if you... these shailas are going to be relevant to the hospital. For those that find themselves in a hospital with a non... With a chayla, some interesting things that you should be aware of with the structure of the hospital. And if there's time, maybe we'll have a little chance to talk a little bit about electricity and Shabbos. Let's say, for example, a person finds himself in a hospital for Shabbos. Now, hospitals today, because of technology, everything's electric. And because everything's electric, everything gets very complicated. Going to the bathroom, walking into a room, a lot of those things become tricky, so we'll maybe get into that a little bit as well. So let's talk a little bit first on what we have in front of us, and we'll see how much time we have left. We'll try to talk a little bit outside and wrap up as much as we can get to on this topic. So the first issue that comes up in many hospitals is that there is crosses in the room, and that presents a problem. What's known today is the Shesi Ve'eriv, that goes this way and that way, known as the cross. And that is some form of a religious symbol, obviously, for Christians. And the question is, and this is a little bit beyond our discussion this evening, how does that play a role for us Jews? What can we, can't we do in front of that symbol? So many hospitals today, especially those hospitals that start with Saint, usually are going to have those types of images in the hospital. And what? How does that affect the hospital? Let's say, for example, you have a nurse who has a necklace where she has a Shesi Ve'erev that day. She has a cross on her necklace. And it's not only for Bikur Cholim. This can happen, you know, all the time in your life. So how do you deal with that from a halachic standpoint, from a Yoridea standpoint? So if you take a look in source number 27, top right corner, there's a Ramot in Yoridea.
What's the problem, just in general? I mean, you're talking about like davening in front of
them? Yeah, to daven.
Predominantly
davening, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
Michael, like being in the room isn't
an issue. Being in the room is not an issue, but we're going to talk about davening. Yeah, you can.
Right. Well, so no more?
I think there might be some more. I brought back what I had from last week. So, the problem is really going to be davening, right? Yeah. Other than that, it can sit there. It, you know, doesn't bother you. You don't bother it. The question is for davening. So there's a Ramon Yerodea. The Ramon Yerodea writes, Shesi ve'erev shemishtachavim loy, a shesi ve'erev that the goyim bowed down to, dinoy kitzelim. It's considered a avodah zarah. Ve'oser, and you're not allowed to benefit from it or use it. We're on page 3, the last page of the booklet. Last page.
Upper right hand corner.
The aser beloy beetle, and will be prohibited unless you mevatel it and you undo the avodah zarah. Avol shesi ve'erev shetoyle mitzavor lezikaron. But let's say you have a shesi ve'erev that's hung around someone's neck just to be like a remembrance. Shebo mimim koy moisehem. They come from certain communities. It's not worshipped. The shesi ve'erev, the cross is not worshipped. Loy mikri tzelem. That's not called an avodah zarah umutter, and it would be permissible. So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch seems to be telling us that not every cross has a status of an avodah zarah. It has to be if it was actually bowed down to.
I remember it was an issue that came up when I was a little kid playing chess.
That's right.
The king
on the chess. But Moshe Feinstein's tshuva that he talks about this was relevant to stamps. Many of the stamps used to also have crosses on them, and people used to be in the business of trading, buying, and selling the stamps. And the question that was asked to Moshe Feinstein was, does this present a problem? So according to this Ramo, it's only a problem if they actually worship it. Now, do you know if your nurse actually worships her cross on her necklace? Probably not. Do you know if the crosses in the hospital are meant to be worshipped? The answer is probably not. They're probably meant to be more decorative. Just like the reason why she wears the cross around her neck is to be decorative. So according to the Ramah, as long as it's not used for bowing, then it's not a problem. Now if you look in the Shach, on his commentary to the Aradea, the Shach writes, Hainu biyodua shelo hishtachavu loy. It means you know it wasn't bowed down to. Meaning, it's not enough just to say, well, I assume it wasn't. You actually have to know. Now, do you know for sure that the cross around the nurse's neck was not bowed down to? You don't know for sure. You can't say it with certainty. It's likely. But this shach sounds like you have to really know. Haynu biyadua, you know, shaloi hishtachava. However, if you look in the Chochmas Adam, this is the Chaya Adam. He wrote a sefer on Orach Chaim called Chaya Adam. Then he wrote a sefer on Yerdeh called the Chochmas Adam. Chochmas Adam lived in Vilna. So Litvish Jews for hundreds of years followed everything that it says in the Chaya Adam. Rav Shachek likes to call it the Litvish Bible. And they follow everything he says there, right? Until we argue with him. But the Chaya Adam was a very reputable sefer. The Chaya Adam was a mechutin with the Vilna Gaon. It wasn't really mechutin. It was the next generation. Meaning their kids married, no, their grandkids married, not the kids married each other, but they were related to the Vilna Gaon. And he writes like this. He says, "V'nirli de pshita de oison shesi ve'eriv sh'oison tachshite noshim." Those shesi ve'erivs that were made for decorative, shehe mutar, that's permissible. Davi ki ilu yadu alonu she'enei nasa el olenoi. We know for sure it was not made for worship, it was just made for decorative. So this already sounds like he's talking about the modern day necklace. Sounds like he's saying that the necklaces that people wear, you don't have to assume that the cross is there. You don't have to suspect that your nurse, when she goes home at the end of the day, bows down to the cross. Which Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, many Christians don't do that at all. They don't bow down to the cross. They wear it, they have it, but they don't bow down to it. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he's really skeptical on the whole notion that the cross today represents anything more than just represents an element of their religion, but it's not an actual tzelem. It's not an actual avodah zarah. Now you'd have a bigger problem with a Buddhist. Right? Because that's a real avodah zarah. Yeah?
With the Catholics, where they have the rosary, there's mamish a cross on the end, and they use it for their prayers.
That's much worse, right? That's so much more severe.
That would seem to me that would actually
that would be like a tzelem, right? Right? That would be much more of a problem.
As if they just cross themselves.
They cross themselves. Right, so that's just, that's supposed to represent something else. That's not an actual avodah. And that's Rav Moshe's argument. You think they're not actually serving anyone by doing that. It represents something else. Moshe, let's say for a Buddhist, or let's say someone who does avodah zarah, they have a little getchkala, they have a little thing that you mamish bow down to it. That's like the worst.
Right.
But that they're not going to show you. That you're not going to see. So keep it in her purse then, or she won't.
So after the Six-Day War, there was a problem with a lot of people wanted to go see in Bethlehem the Church of Nativity.
That's right.
But to get into the church, there's a cross right in the entranceway. And in order to get in, you have to bow.
Oh, wow.
To get in. So it was a big shallow.
Right, so we're going to actually see, we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, that even bowing down to something which is not technically an avodah zarah, but looks like an avodah zarah, you should also not do. It's actually Allah
from Shulchan Aruch. In the church, you know the cross they were bowing
to. That was definitely used to be served, right? Here.
That was used to be served.
That was clearly used to be served. Right, maybe. We'll talk about it. We'll see. So that's something to keep in mind. So again, so you probably don't have to be too concerned about the necklace that the nurse is wearing or the doctor if he has something. That's probably not such. Again, we're only talking about really just to daven in front of it. So this is a question of davening while the nurse is, has the thing dangling. That's probably not the end of the world. However, there is an interesting halach in Shulchan Aruch. If you look in Shulchan Aruch number 30, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Hamispalo." Let's say you're in the middle of davening, ubo goy kinegdoi, and a guy walks in front of you. The Yeshla Shesi Veiriv. And he's got a cross. The guy's got the cross. The Gia Lamakim Sheshaychimba. And now you get to one of the places in David where you're supposed to bow. And you're going to bow in the direction of the cross. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Lo Yishche, don't bow down. Don't bow down in the direction of the cross. Afapi Shaliba Lashemaim. Even though you're not davening to the cross, you're davening to Hashem. But it looks bad. It looks like the nice Jewish boy. He's bowing down to the cross. Even though you're bowing down to Magen Avraham, you're bowing down to the parts of the davening, you're davening to Hashem. But it looks very bad. So therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't daven in that direction. You shouldn't bow down in that direction. Okay. So what are you supposed to do? You skip the bows. You don't bow down in those directions. Instead, you just daven regularly. So even, let's say, for example, there'd be a Shesi Ve'eriv in the room. Even if there'd be a cross in the room, it would be better not to bow in that direction. Bow in a different direction. Daven in a different direction.
Down, it's not
ma'akev in your tefillah. No, 100%. It's not ma'akev at all. That's why, if we'll skip a little bit, we'll see that Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and Reb Shlomo Zalman, the Nishmas Avrami discusses, what do you taka do if a person's bedridden, and he's in his bed, and there's only one direction. The one direction is the cross. What's he supposed to do? So he writes, if we skip with me to the left corner, he writes in the left corner, Hamispalva Beisacholim, Akum, Shetpluyim, Bekoisel, Mizrachi, Gilulun. He's having in a hospital, a person's in a hospital, And on the walls there are Mizrachi Gilulim, on the Kaisel Mizrachi, where you're supposed to daven, it's full of Avodah Zarah. Oy b'makim shalatzad panav erva, or you have unclothed, properly dressed people. Al yispala lo yisatzad, don't daven in that direction. Elo letzad acher, daven in a different direction, alfa pishena Mizrach. Even though we have a tradition, we always like to daven towards Mizrach. However, not if Mizrach has got a big piece, a big picture of a cross or something else that you shouldn't do. What is a person's bedridden? He can't move around. He says, necklace, you should close your eyes. Don't do the bounds. Like you pointed out, they're not makiv.
You said last week, to cover it is...
So we'll come back to covering in a second. But the Nishmas Avram suggests that if your person is bedridden, let's say in Nebuch you have someone, you know, they don't have the flexibility to be moved. They're stuck. They're in a bed. They're in a wheelchair. They can't move around. So he says, in that case, they should just skip the bows.
That's just a silly question.
Yeah.
Where are you up to?
I am in the left top corner.
Number 8, the Nishmas Avraham?
Yeah, Nishmas Avraham. I was just reading that because I just wanted to contrast. Because we said earlier that if a person is davening and he has the ability to switch directions, he should switch directions. But the Nishmas Avraham says, what if a person can't? He's laid up in bed. He can't just, you know, they put him in a hospital. He's in St. Mark's, whatever hospital he's in, St. Joe, whatever it is. And there's only one direction, and that's it, facing straight the cross. What's he supposed to do? So he says he doesn't bow down. Doesn't bow down. He could close his eyes. Again, if he's facing something which is usher to look at, then he'd have to close his eyes. But if he's just a question of the cross, in that case, he should. He won't bow. He won't do the bows. That is what it is. You got to work with what you have. So let's go back for a second to, I'm jumping around because I really want to get to as much as we can in our last evening here together. So if you look in the bottom right corner, number 37, I apologize for all the jumping around. Number 37, right corner. Emes Liakov, Yaakov Kamenetsky. 37, right bottom corner. Okay, I feel like we're playing Scrabble here, right? Bottom, what's that game not Scrabble. No. Emes Liakov. Battleship, right? Bottom right corner. Bottom right corner.
E3.
E3, right? Maybe it's bingo. I think you guys are on the wrong page. Page 3.
No, we have a different.
You have a different page?
Yeah, this is the same.
How could that be?
I have the same.
Is that the same?
It's the right booklet because it was only the one page.
This is the same. This is the same.
I got the booklet. Oh, you guys got shortchanged. Okay. She asked for your money back. You guys got shortchanged. Okay. So you'll trust me that it's an Emes Liakov. Okay. In Emes Liakov, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky writes the following. And again, you have to know Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky's background. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky was an Ish Emes, right? His sefer is called Emes Liakov. He was a very honest, straight shooter person. Reb Yaakov didn't go for any games, any charades, or anything that was questionable, not just in Torah, but in questionable in perception of the world. He was a very straight shooter, a Talmud from Slobodka, right? Those of you, I'm sure many of you knew his son, Yama Kamenetsky, you know that's the way they go. Straight shooters, no games, none of these questionable activities. So Yaakov Kamenetsky writes the following. If a choyle finds himself in a hospital, v'yeshal akir tmunas tzelem, and there's a picture, there's a cross. Also, like this, you may not daven in that direction. Avol, mutter lispalish achrov olutzadav, daven in a different direction. Side, back. The Yeshli Zari Tuva says to Yaakov, be very careful. Shulei Ligurum Eva. Don't cause fight and animosity with the hospital. Oy Chil Hashem, or any form of Chil Hashem, Aideshi Siruhu, by removing it, which might even be illegal to touch, you know, hospital property, Oy Sheikhasu, or by covering it up. So this is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and this is...
But he has the words to be Pi HaShmua.
Right, because the Sefer in Emes Liakov, many of it was written by him. And on the bottom, they have things that were brought in later that they heard in his name.
Oh, I see.
That means that he didn't pen this, but it was written by Pi HaShmua. It's relatively reliable. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky held, and this is such a testimonial to who he was and how he lived his life, you know, don't upset or insult the nursing staff by covering or by even taking down their crosses in their hospital. Just manage, deal with it. You don't have to go around making life complicated. So I don't know if I told the story last time, but I had a fellow in my shul told me that his daughter graduated from St. John's. And in St. John's, you wear cap and gown, and on the gown, there was a bunch of little crosses. And they asked what to do about the crosses. So they asked the head of the college, they said, it's Velcro, it comes off. And they asked permission to take them all off, and they took them all off. No big deal. Now, I would have never done it without permission, because this is, you know, this is their property. But if they give you permission, again, do I think it's the end of the world? It's probably not the end of the world anyways. Those crosses were not used for worship at all. That was just, that's clearly decorative in a place like St. John's. But I understand Jews don't feel comfortable wearing crosses, but you ask permission, you ask them if they let, you know, they're usually pretty understanding today. So in the hospital, I don't know if they'll let you take it down in the hospital, they'll be somewhat understanding, but I don't think the right thing is, I think if you very right, as he always was not to go around, because again, people do get insulted if you start taking down their religious representations and things like that.
So I guess if you ask and they say we don't
mind. Right, if they ask you, then no, 100%. If they have no problem. Again, problem is you don't know who's going to walk in and get insulted, you know. You'll get permission from the head desk, and then you'll have two doctors that come in, or a nurse that comes in. I think if Yaakov was basically telling us that don't lose too much sleep over getting around it, turn your back, you know, make it work. Now, what happens if you have in the hospital, some hospitals have rooms where they allow you to pray in. What are those rooms considered? They're open prayer rooms. So what? So in some of these rooms, they actually have shasiveyers, they have crosses in them. Now those crosses were definitely meant to be worshipped, right? A hospital room is one thing, but if you're going to find a cross in a room that's designated for prayer, we know why those crosses are there. They're there for prayer. So what happens then? So then it would become much more complicated. Then you'd have a problem about davening in that direction. Now the truth is, as crazy as it sounds, but you'd be better off in a mosque. I know. It's weird to tell a Jew to go hang out in a mosque, but strictly speaking, from a religious standpoint, the mosques are not really considered a base of Avodah Zarah, because the Arabs are not even Avodah Zarah. We hold that's not considered Avodah Zarah. What the Christians do is what's called Shituf. They have a partner. They believe in Yashka with a partner, with Hashem, that's a partnership. So we believe that that's Avodah Zarah. It's a question if it's Avodah Zarah for Goyim. But we believe it's Avodah Zarah. We're not allowed to believe in it. So therefore, for us, it becomes Avodah Zarah. But Muslims, they really believe in one God. Muhammad is just a messenger, whatever he is. So it's taka not Avodah Zarah. So it's not a base of Avodah Zarah. So if you have to choose where to daven, so even though you don't want to get caught in a mosque, it's not a safe place for a nice Jewish boy, but strictly speaking, from a halacha standpoint, it would be better off, it would be safer, so to say, than it would be to be in a church, because it has other problems. And this is a general question about going into churches. It used to be that where all the voting booths took place used to be in churches. Now they don't have them. Now they put them in public schools. But it used to be, where do you go vote? You used to vote in the church. So there was always a tumult discussion amongst Rabbanim. How do you go vote in a church? So the answer always was, they didn't vote in the main sanctuary. That kedusha they wouldn't give up for voting. They usually have it in a side room. So in a side room that's not used for prayer is probably less problematic. Someone called me up a few years ago that they had some form of a dental thing, a dental event in a church. And the question was, are they allowed to go? So the answer is, if it's a side room, and it's not the main sanctuary, and everyone knows you're going there for the event, there's a big sign, you know, dental convention here, so then it's less problematic. So that's the issue with the Shesivev. Now, if you look at the last source, for those of you who are frequent flyers, or for those of you who fly to England, you can appreciate this tshuva. This tshuva was written by a Belzadine in Yerushalayim. His name is Rabbi Gross. He's a Belzadine. He lives today in Eretz Yisrael. He lives in Belz in Yerushalayim. He's the head, one of the head dayanim. But he was asked the following shayla. B'steh ha-tu'ufa. What's that in modern Hebrew?
Airport.
An airport. That part's easy, right? What's the next word?
Gatwick.
Yeah, what's Gatwick?
It's an airport in England.
Be'angila in England. Yeshom chedim yuchad cholela roitim uspalsham. There's a designated room for anyone who wants to pray. A room for prayer. And some hospitals have it also today. Hein Yehudim, Ulahavdil Hanoitzim. It's open room. You want to, you know, sometimes you come to shul, they tell you what nusach we daven. They say it's your choice. You want to daven nusach here? What religion you want it to be? It's your choice. Today it could be Jewish, tomorrow it's Christian, the next day it's Muslim, whatever you want. So what about davening there? Hein Yehudim, Ulahavdil Hanoitzim, Ubesechachedi Yeshem Shasivei Val HaShulchan. And on the table, there is taka a cross, because it's open to Christians as well. Would you be allowed to daven there if you cover the shasiv eruv? He's saying even covering it. And he writes, since in this room they daven to the church, the cross, it was established that this room should be used for prayers of Avodah Zarah, even though they allow Jews to daven there also. It was designated, this room was meant to be used for a place to daven, for the Goyim to daven. He says, if it's a place designated for prayer, that makes it worse. So since the Christians come and daven here, Osir Vadi Osir Lispalosham. You're not allowed to daven there. What do you mean? I covered the shasi ve'er, I covered the cross. He says, "Mekom akim kivin achedim yucha." So he points out something interesting. There's two issues over here. One issue is davening in front of a cross, and one issue is davening in a room that's designated for avodah zarah worship. He says you may not daven there. A person may not daven in a place that was designated for avodah zarah worship, even though it was designated for other religions also. He thinks that you would not be allowed to daven in that room. You would not be allowed to daven in that airport prayer room. That would be considered a base of avodah zarah, and a person should stay clear of that. So halach l'maisa with the davening, it's not the end of the world. Again, even if you're in a church, even if you're in a room, a hospital room that has a shesiv eiriv, all you have to do is really turn away. You don't have such problems. You don't have to make big deals about it. Rabbi Yaakov Kamensky told us, don't cover it. Don't go too crazy. Again, you don't want to insult people. We want to, we have to remind ourselves this week's parasha, Esa Halachi, Esa of Sinai Yaakov. We're still in Galus. As much freedom as we have, we don't need to stoke the coals. We don't need to make such a big deal. Okay, so that's something I wanted to get to, at least somewhat inside. Now, let's try to talk outside for as much as we can get in. What a person needs to know when he's going to be Mavakechil. Well, so one of the major things you have to be aware of is a shayla that comes up a lot. Many people have, let's say, elderly family members that they're taking care of. So first of all, if you have an elderly man that you're taking care of, father-in-law, grandfather. So there's an interesting shayla in the Poskim. It's not on this booklet. I have it in another booklet if you want to read it inside, about putting on tefillin for them. There's a question of how do you put on tefillin for someone who is unable to put on their own tefillin. So what do I mean by that? Because there's a question, can a woman put on tefillin to a man? Let's say, for example, you have many men have AIDS. The AIDS are women, or the AIDS are not Jewish. So therefore, the aid will put on the tefillin. Is that a problem? So that's a discussion that the later Achorinim deal with. It's based on a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. There's a famous sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, any mitzvah that you're exempt from, you can't do the mitzvah either. So that's why Rabbeinu Tam was of the opinion a lady can't build a sukkah. Rabbeinu Tam held a lady can't build a sukkah because the lady's potter from sukkah. A lady can't write a sefer Torah. A lady can't write tefillin. Any mitzvah a lady's exempt from, she's not allowed to do the mitzvah. So based on this Rabbeinu Tam, could a lady be able to tie the tefillin not on the man? No, because she's potter from tefillin. So if she's potter from tefillin, she's not allowed to do the mitzvah of tefillin.
That brings us into another controversy.
The what?
Is a woman really potter from tefillin?
Well, she's definitely potter. That's not the question. The question is, may she wear tefillin? That's a separate question. Yeah, we could talk about that also. There's no question they're potter because tefillin is a mitzvah sesheisha as man grom. The question was, may a woman wear tefillin? The simple answer is, why not? Yeah, she's allowed to. She's allowed to. The question is, why doesn't she? So the simple answer is the reason why women don't wear tefillin is because really men shouldn't wear tefillin. What do I mean by that? In order to wear tefillin, you have to have a gufnaki. You have to be a clear body. You have clear thoughts and a clear body. And even men can't do it. This is the way the Aruch HaShulchan explains it. I think it's a very nice way of saying it. And Be'etzim, men really can't do it. But since men have a mitzvah, so we gotta do the best we can. But since women are not obligated, why should they go and put themselves in a situation that they're going to perhaps not perform the mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done? That's the simple reason. And just to put it to rest, Rashi's daughters did not wear tefillin. That's a myth. That's absolutely not true. It's absolutely not true. Rashi told him that they might have wore Rabbeinu Tam, maybe. But Rabbeinu Tam was Rashi's grandson. Right. The story says that when Rabbeinu Tam was a little kid, he was sitting on Rashi's lap, so he touched his tefillin. So everyone says something's going to happen later on with this and tefillin. And later on, he ended up arguing on his grandfather about the Seder HaParshias in the tefillin. But there's no historical background whatsoever that Rashi's daughters were tefillin. There is historical background that Rashi's daughters helped him write his commentary, and Rashi learned heavily with his daughters. That is definitely historically proven, but that his daughters wore tefillin, that's a myth. That's absolutely, probably, I should say, it's almost positively not true. But in any case, that's tefillin. So can you, there's no proof to it. Could be they did. Micha Basho put on tefillin, that's a Gemara.
How do we get from where the Gemara talks about one has to wear tefillin all day?
Right.
So just putting it on by chakras.
Right, because of this problem. It used to be people could control their bodies much better. They wouldn't be able to think only of good things. They wouldn't be able to control their stomach. They wouldn't pass gas. They wouldn't do Hesech Hadas, but we're not so good today. So we limit the amount of tefillin. There are plenty of people I know, very reputable people, they wear tefillin for maybe 3 minutes a day.
So what would you do in a situation? I was once in the old city of Yerushalayim, and there were a bunch of teenage kids that had tefillin on and playing soccer.
Oh, gosh. I shuckle.
Right.
That's terrible. That's terrible. I thought, yeah, it's terrible.
What should I have done? I kept my mouth. I didn't want to.
Yeah, no, that's horrible. Yeah, that's,
I said to my wife, this is so.
That's the worst thing in the world. Yeah, that's mamish.
Yes, it's a misinterpretation.
No, not that. 100%. Right. Technically speaking, tefillin should be worn a whole day. There are gedolim. There were people, Pichashan, and other people who wear tefillin every day, a whole day, which is what the way it used to be. That's the way it used to be. That's an old school system. But today, we're lucky if we can focus, you know, for a few minutes. The Samer Rebbe used to say it took him so much time to get ready to put on tefillin. He didn't put on tefillin until very late in the day. But that's because they had a very sensitive feeling towards that tefillin. But strictly speaking, women are part of from tefillin. So if a lady wants to tie the tefillin on the patient, can she? So the question is, do we pass like Rabbeinu Tam? So it's not so simple that we pass like this Rabbeinu Tam. The pashtus is we don't pass like Rabbeinu Tam. A lady may be able to put on tefillin.
What's the mitzvah? And the bracha almost sounds like it's a part of it is what you're doing.
The time.
Yeah,
that's the question. The mitzvah is lohaniach tefillin. The mitzvah is to put. Well, that's a part of the mitzvah is to have
right,
a tardy.
Another thing.
If you don't have a tardy, you're not going to be yotze.
But if the patient is not actually making the not is that considered hanasa?
Right. So that's why they say if the patient can somehow help, they'll move their arm, they'll do something that they're involved, that's even better. But the truth is, halacha lemaisa, at the end of the day, we're not so machm. Again, if you have a choice, if a man can put tefillin on a patient or a woman, it's probably better for the man to put it on to be choishes for a bit of time. But let's say, for example, you have an elderly person whose aid is just a lady. And it's just not practical. So then let the lady put
Jewish them. Woman versus a boy man.
That's a question. That's a machloikis between two son-in-laws of Rebbe Eliashiv. Eliashiv had two very famous son-in-laws. One was Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Everyone knows him. And the other one was Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach's son. So Reb Shmuel Orbach. So Reb Shmuel Orbach, they have a machloikis about what the Shver held. It's not clear what Reb Eliashiv held. Is a guy better or a guy is not better? Some people say a guy is so removed from the parsha. A guy can't even put on tefillin if he wants to. At least a lady, she's at least in the ballpark. So that's a question if a guy is worse than a lady or not. But at the end of the day, halacha l'maaseh, if all you have is a lady, or just let them put the tefillin on the man as well. Just he should wear tefillin, not be he should wear tefillin. But if you have, let's say for example, let's say you'll be there that day with your father, grandfather, if you could put it on, that's even better. If you could be the one to put on the tefillin, this way you'll be yotze even according to that sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. So if he could make the bracha, that would be better. If not, you'd make the bracha for him.
With the guy doing the
shatah? The guy is not going to be able to make the bracha.
Make the bracha for
yourself. Lahaniach, right.
At the time that you do.
Right. So you do the same. You do the same thing. He'd answer amen. The chayla would answer amen.
But let's say he can't say it.
If he can't, so then he can't.
Again, the bracha is not ma'akev either.
The bracha is not ma'akev. No, the main thing is we want this person to wear tefillin.
Exactly.
Big shayla that comes up a lot with dealing with elderly family members is havdalah. Havdalah Matzei Shabbos. Many people have elderly. My wife has an elderly grandmother. She lives by herself. So what do you do with Havdalah? So what do most people do? They make Havdalah over the phone. Very, very controversial. Very controversial. Why? Because 99.9% of the Gedolei Achrayim who lived within the last 150 years in the invention of telephones held you absolutely not Yotze Havdalah over the telephone. You held it's a different voice. It's a different sound. It's like listening to a recording over the... Today you can listen to a recording of Havdalah. You can listen to a beautiful Kalbach Havdalah, right? Well, it was done 3 years ago. You're not Yotze Havdalah. It's not the real sound. So what do you do in such a situation? So Reb Moshe Feinstein was one of the few. And even Reb Moshe Feinstein might have changed his mind later in life, but Reb Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that maybe you yotze over the telephone. So what do you do if you have an elderly woman, she's stuck in her apartment, but this was a real problem during COVID, right? When we were on lockdown, you couldn't even go there. So what do you do? So the answer is, if you're going to make havdalah for your family, so what do most people do? They make havdalah for their family, they put on the speakerphone, and the grandmother listens on the phone. So according to Reb Moshe, you might be yotze. According to everyone else, you're not yotze. And I mean everyone else. You list a gadol and they hold you not yotze. American, Israeli, it's mamash. Reb Moshe is the minority opinion. Reb Moshe is by far the only one that I'm aware of that holds that it's even maybe a possibility that you're yotze. Everyone else here in America and Eretz Israel, you go through, they're all against it. Yeah.
And a woman can make havdalah.
Oh, I'll get to that in a second. Yeah.
That was good.
Oh, very good. So the truth is, a woman could make havdalah for herself. Strictly speaking, we don't. The Rama says in Shulchan Aruch, women should try to hear havdalah from a man. And women don't like to make havdalah because they're afraid they're going to grow beards. Because someone told them another myth.
No, I thought that was drinking from the
havdalah. Right, that's why they don't want to make havdalah, because they're going to make it. So that's obviously not true. There's no, that's another myth. It's absolutely, it's not true. No, it's not true at all. That's right, exactly. That's right. That's what everyone's trying to figure out. They can make. We Ashkenazim hold, Nasvardim hold, that women don't make a bracha on a mitzvah to say Shazman Grum. Right? Svaradim hold that a lady doesn't make a bracha when she sits in the lulav, when she sits in the sukkah, when she shakes the lulav, when she hears shayfer. Us Ashkenazim do, so why can't she make Havdalah?
Havdalah is Midoraisa?
Havdalah is a machloikis.
If that's the case, then it's not a mitzvah social shas magram.
Now, the problem with Havdalah.
It's only if it's Midoraisa.
Right, the problem. No, like, we can have mitzvah magram and Rabbanans also.
Uh-huh.
The problem with Havdalah is Havdalah a Shabbos experience, or is it a post-Shabbos experience? We know anything on Shabbos, women and men are equal. You gotta go home and tell your wives they have to eat shal shudas. Women have this thing, they don't have to eat shal shudas. I don't know who told them they don't have to eat. Of course women have to eat shal shudas. That's in Shulchan Aruch. That they have the same obligation as we do. When it comes to Shabbos, everything we do, they have to do. They have to hear Kiddush, they have to hear Lecha Mishnah, and they have to eat three meals.
Havdol. They can make Kiddush for themselves too.
They definitely could make Kiddush, 100%. I was away a few weeks ago. I was one place, my wife was somewhere else. So she made Kiddush for my son, and she made Kiddush for whoever was home. She did a great job. And she knew how to do it. That's women are very capable. There's no problem. Havdol. That's right. Yeah, it was great. My son pointed out she wasn't so good at giving out the brachas Friday night. She wasn't so familiar how to do it. The truth is, if you want to, if you look in the paiskim, many paiskim, we all know there's a practice to give your children brachas on Friday night. There's also a practice to kiss the mother's hand. The svardim are very into this, but it's not just the svardim. It's brought down many paiskim. You're supposed to kiss your mother's hand, and the mothers are all supposed to give brachas on Friday night. Not just the fathers. Why only the fathers? The mothers should also give brachas. But in any case, so women, the Ramah says women should try not to make their own havdalah because it's questionable if they're obligated. If it's a Shabbos experience, they're obligated. If it's post-Shabbos, then it's like a mitzvah shas magrama, which they're potter. So why can't they make the bracha? So everyone tries to figure out, why wouldn't they not be able to make the bracha, even if they're not obligated? So the Ramah writes, better to hear from a man, but if not, they can make their own havdalah. The problem is usually elderly patients are not going to make their own havdalah. Either they feel uncomfortable, or because they're not up to it, but they're usually not. So usually when someone asks me this question, my first question is, will they make their own havdalah? And the answer always is no. So what are you supposed to do? So the truth is, the best thing would be, is if you can make havdalah at their home. Meaning, pack up your family, go to their home, make havdalah for them live. That would be the best. Not always feasible, especially during COVID, it wasn't feasible. So if you can make havdalah for your family, and then go home, and then go to mom's house and make havdalah for her, that's also okay. Mr. Bruce says, you could do that also. But what happens if none of these are options? So you got to use the telephone. So it's better than nothing. It's either this or nothing. You have Yesh HaMalizu. Moshe Feinstein was definitely someone. What bothers me is that you end up...
push it off till Sunday, though.
So that they asked for Moshe Feinstein that question. But Moshe Feinstein said, in that case, do it on Sunday. Yeah. But the problem is she's not going to be able to eat. It's hard to tell. She can't eat. Till, you'll lose Besamim. Besamim she could do on her own. Besamim, right, this is a good point. Besamim and Eish you only do on Matzah Shabbos. If a person makes the Avdallah Sunday morning, he doesn't do Besamim, he doesn't use Eish. Eish and Besamim is only on a Matzah Shabbos experience. So let's say, for example, you won't make Avdallah Matzah Shabbos, make Avdallah Sunday morning. So in that case, you just start with
what about the thing about that you're allowed to, if you forget Avdallah, you can make Avdallah till Tuesday.
That's correct. You can make Avdallah till Tuesday. That's a question. That's a question. So the Mr. Brewer writes that it depends. If you know that you're going to get Havdalah at some point, then you're talking not allowed to eat until you get Havdalah. But if it's going to be very far away and you're mitzta'er, the Mr. Brewer is meikel to eat. So let's say, for example, a person's stuck in the hospital with a family member Matzah Shabbos, and he's starving, and he's not going to get Eish, he's not going to get till who knows when. So the Mr. Brewer says he'd be allowed to eat if he's very uncomfortable, if he's a choyle, if he's a mitzta'er. The guy hasn't eaten all day, he's starving. So
even if you know that you're traveling,
The Rabbanan said, you're not allowed to eat before you do a mitzvah. We want to make sure you do the mitzvah. Just like you're not allowed to eat before Megillah and you're not allowed to eat before Shofar. So here also, we want to make sure. Yeah, that's a good question. It's a big problem this time of the year.
That's the
heter. You have a minyan kavua. So maybe if you have a shomer, it might be able to work. But so that's a question with Avdallah. So again, what bothers me is that I hear stories of three college girls rent an apartment. And they call every Matzah Shabbos, they call that the her Avdallah. That's wrong. That's 100% wrong. Why should they do that? Let one of the girls make Avdallah, work it out.
So you've done Avdallah for your family.
You can be Matzah.
And then you go 2 hours later to the hospital. You do Eish as well?
Eish, you can't do it. There's a couple of questions over there. There's a question of whether or not Isha can do Eish. If an Isha does Eish or not by herself.
You go and do it again.
You're not going to make the bracha again. You're not going to make the bracha again on the Eish. You do it once. Eish is just once. Right, but the problem with the Eish in the hospital is you're not going to be able to. You most likely will not be able to make Eish in a hospital.
Yeah. Okay, so b'samim.
B'samim, you smell anytime you smell b'samim, you make a bracha.
Again.
Yeah, sure. Anytime you smell b'samim. If you smell b'samim on Tuesday, you also make a bracha. It's not a Shabbos thing. It's just that on we were misakin on Matzei Shabbos to smell b'samim. So if you're stuck in the hospital on Matzei Shabbos, you're probably not going to get Eish. Why are you not going to get Eish? Because most of the lights today in the hospital are LED or incandescent. That's not a fire.
Yeah, but it's not a question of in the hospital. Let's say you go to somebody's house, you know they're going 2 hours later. It's the same question.
Right, so then you'd be able to make, right, so you'd be able to make the bracha.
Then you do it.
Incandescent. An incandescent light bulb, right, but most of the lights today are not incandescent. If you get an old light, you'd be okay. It's Reb Chaim Moshe was well known. Reb Chaim Moshe used to make avdol on incandescent light bulb, but today, you know, it's very hard to find incandescent light bulbs.
My question is not the light. My question is, can you do avdol again?
Yes.
If you go to your mother-in-law's house?
Yes. Yeah, you can do it again, yeah.
Old brothers.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in YU, so we didn't light Shabbos candles.
Right.
But the Rav said we should turn on the switch by the sink.
That's right.
So
Friday night candles are different. Friday night candles, you don't need an ish. Friday night candles are just so you don't bump into things. Mm-hmm. So for Friday night candles, you can use almost anything. So let's say, for example, if a person has to be in the hospital over Shabbos, so they usually give you these little lights. Those are LED lights. So most Paiskim hold that you can make a bracha lahadik neshal Shabbos on that. Not everyone agrees. Some Paiskim hold you can't make a bracha on that. Why can't you make a bracha on that? So there's different versions in the Achrayim. Why can't you make a bracha? So the Ragid Shava held, you can't make a bracha because you're not lighting the light. Why are you not lighting the light? Because you're not lighting it. It's not your action. You're flipping a switch, and the switch is connecting the current, and it's connecting the, what's it called? The circuit, right? So it's not you. When I light it, that's me. That's one pshat. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe had a different svar. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe held that it's as if you lit with not enough oil. Why? Because you're not in control of this fire. The electric company is in control. If at any point they cut the electricity, there goes your fire. So they held it's like lighting with not enough oil. So Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman held you shouldn't make a brach. I think common practice today is that most people do make a brach. So if you find yourself stuck in the hospital and you're going to get these little LED lights, you probably could make the bracha lahadlik ner. So when people ask me, I always say, do it without a bracha. The problem is women don't like lighting candles without a bracha. They feel something's wrong. They feel like it bothers them. They feel like it's not the experience. Okay? So then I tell them, in that case, they can be saimich on, 25 achrayim that held you are allowed to make a bracha. But Ramosha held you're not supposed to make a bracha. But many achrayim hold you can make a bracha. So that's manageable. But that's Friday night, different than Havdalah. Havdalah is about an ish. What's the bracha? Boirim or ish. So it's got to be an ish. Friday night, it's not about being an H Friday night. It's about being a Nair. It's got about giving you light. So you can use LED, fluorescent, incandescent. All lights pretty much work for Friday night.
Going back on night.
Yeah.
If they're using the little LED, like the LED key lights,
yeah,
it's got a battery in it. You are in control.
Very good. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, I always felt that light bulb, that battery lights are better than electric lights. Reb Shlomo Zalman always held that you should use a panas chashmali. Reb Shlomo Zalman held, if you have a choice between lights, go with the battery pack. Because the battery has in it the ability to go. Exactly, that's smart. That was Reb Shlomo Zalman's opinion.
Reb Shlomo also, he almost was on the borderline of saying that fluorescent lights, if not even Asia, almost turned on Shabbos. He was like,
yeah, fluorescent is it pashas? LED and fluorescent are not ish. So you have to figure out, so why are they usher on Shabbos? Okay, we got to talk about that a different time. That's what we covered in other shurim and the youngest world. What we discussed? What issur is there to turn on a light? What issur is there to turn on an LED light? What are you waiting? Now you'll ask me, who cares? The answer is because let's say you have a terim. You have a choyle, you have a sleeping, you have to come up with reasons to why it's mutter, so then it would be mutter. So yeah, in Echanami. It's probably not an issa derais, except for the chazinish, maybe, to turn on electric lights, to turn on fluorescent lights. Again, there's very few incandescent light bulbs left in the world. And they're going to be obsolete soon. It's just a reality. So on one hand, it's very, very good for Shabbos, but it's very tough for Avdol. For Avdol, makes things very complicated.
Just to go back on the summit that you talked about. They can make a bracha every single time. I remember I was once in the Aguda in Borough Park for Yom Kippur, and a lot of people had the...
Very good. That's Sroigim with the...
You have to have 100 brachas.
And people don't know that. Yeah. I'm happy you pointed... A lot of people think that the reason why they pass around stuff to smell on Yom Kippur is because it's supposed to give you energy to daven. That's not the pshat. There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, which became very popular also during COVID, that you're supposed to make 100 brachas during every day. So on Yom Kippur, you're always going to be short. So we pass around the psalm so you can make many, many brachas. So that's why if you smell it many times, you have to make many, you have to make brachas. That's why they instituted Shabbos party. Why do you have Shabbos party on Shabbos? You have a Shabbos party on Shabbos so you can make brachas. So this way you'll have a cookie and you'll have a fruit and you'll have this, so you'll can make many, you'll get more brachas throughout the day. That's why we have Shabbos party.
What's the
That's a problem. That's a big problem that people have. That's the same problem with a lot of people. They do the same thing with the meal. They'll make brachas that sometimes are not necessary. You got to be careful. Mishnah Berurah writes to be careful about that. Right? You should try to space. You can't be every 2 minutes. Right? I'm not sure what the numbers they use, but it has to be spread out. It's a problem. What else? Yeah. Yeah. Those are two separate questions. No. Davening via Zoom versus Havdalah via Zoom is a different question. Those are two separate questions. When it comes to davening, it's very possible, based on a Mishnah and Sukkah, and based on Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, that it could be that as long as you know what's going on, you could be mitzvah. You can't be part of. You can't be number 10 to the minyan, but you can answer to what the minyan is saying as long as you know what they're saying. So let's say, for example, when outdoor minyanim first started, so what a lot of people did was, is they had people who didn't live near the outdoor minyan, so they'd put a phone, and you'd listen to the phone. So you say to yourself, well, what is this? The answer is no. There's Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, based on the Mishnah and Sukkah, about what they used to do in Alexandria, what they used to do back in Egypt, where they used to have these massive rooms, and you couldn't hear the chazan. They had the same problem in Bells today. You go to Bells today, they have a clapper. Bells in Yerushalayim. They smack it on the bima. So this way everyone knows what they're up to. Why? Because you can only answer to a bracha if you know what the bracha was said. So let's say, for example, I'm watching it on Zoom. I know exactly what bracha he made. So then I would be able to answer amen. But again, that might be different than Havdalah. I don't have to hear the voice over there. They just want to be mishtatif. I want to be part of the tzibur. Over here, you're being moitzi me. I want to be yoitzi with your bracha. That would perhaps be more complicated. So yeah, Zoom telephones are going to be very, very tricky. Just about Neir Shabbos, it's worth mentioning. A lot of people don't know this. Let's say, for example, the man is in the hospital with his parent, let's say, and your wife is at home at home in the house. So you don't have to light Neiris in the hospital. You're yoitzah with her candles. All you would need to do is have a light on in the bathroom so you don't bump into things. But you don't have to light. So let's say, for example, let's say you and your wife go on vacation. Fantastic. And you leave the kids at home. So if you leave kids that live at home, not married kids who come for Shabbos to, you know, have a free Shabbos away and raid your fridge, right? But you have kids who live at home. They live in your house. And they're going to be there for Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Eliashiv, you don't have to light candles.
He doesn't have to light candles.
You and your wife that are on vacation. While your kids are at home lighting in the house. And all you need to do is have a light on in the bathroom so you don't bump into each other.
What happens in a case?
But it's not practical. Because again, tell your wife not to light Shabbos candles. Never going to happen.
Exactly.
Never
going to
happen.
My wife is going away next week, Thanksgiving, Miami. My daughter.
Right.
I'll be home alone.
That's right.
So I'm lighting Shabbos.
That's right.
She won't have to light in the application.
Strictly speaking, she won't, but she will. She will. There's no way she won't.
And if she does, you still have to light it home in the house?
Yeah, because you're biased. Your home has to have a neighbors. Right. Strictly speaking, she does, but there's no way you tell her. It's not going to work. But strictly speaking, if you're going to light her at home, she's yaitza. But you need to have a light in the bathroom. You need a light so you don't bump into each other. But make her a din. You don't need that lighting. Mm-hmm. What else is there? Okay. What else can we try to cram in a few minutes? The hospitals are very tricky on Shabbos. The hospitals are very tricky on Shabbos because everything is electric. So how do you...
With the doors.
How do you navigate in the hospital?
The doors.
So the simple answer would be is to let a goyer and walk in, follow someone in. You let someone walk, he activates the door, and you go behind him. That would be the simplest answer. The problem is not always is that going to work. So if you can figure out what Isser is there to activate the electric doors, you can figure out how much room we have, wiggle room to play with. So the simple answer would be, according to everyone except for the Chazon Ish, it would be some form of Nisa de Rabban. To activate electricity would be Nisa de Rabban, and could be this is even less than that, because it's only Grama. Because again, you're not turning on a switch.
Right.
You walk in front of it, it gets activated, it trips the whole thing.
Right.
It might be even according to the Chazon Ish, it could be those or less. So what can you do? So the simple answer is you can ask a guy. So let's say, for example, you want to get out of the electric doors. So you can ask a guy, do me a favor, walk in front of it so I can pass. Now, what happens if there's no guy? So it depends on why you want to leave. So if you're leaving for some important reason, let's say, for example, the patient needs you. Let's say you went out of the hospital to get some fresh air, to go daven. And now you want to come back and you're already out for two hours. You would assume the patient needs you. They're getting nervous. They're getting worried. So then you might be able to walk in an abnormal way, triggered off with the shinoi. This way you'll cause the doors to open with an abnormal way. You'll walk on a funny way. That way you'd be able to go through. But something like that. And an abnormal way that triggers the sensor. The problem is everywhere in the hospital, there's everything's automatic.
The toilets.
The toilets are automatic.
These soft dispensers.
You go to the bathroom.
Yeah. And then you really, I think that you go, you stand there.
Yep.
And you do your thing.
Yep, yeah, yeah.
And then you realize that it's electric. Yep, what do you do?
You walk away.
So the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're allowed to be over in Issa Rabbanon for Kavod Abrius. Kavod Abrius, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a case where a guy is walking in a rabbinic Isser area on Shabbos. He's walking in a Carmelis and he realizes that his tzitzis are apostle. So he has to take them off. But he'd have to take off his whole clothes. He'd have to walk, you know, half naked. So the Shulchan Aruch says, no, you're allowed to walk in it because it's a Rabbanon and Kavod Abrius. So going to the bathroom is a very big Kavod Abrius. So
Rabbi, this is apostle. The begging itself keeps you warm or whatever.
Right, okay, that's the question. Right, that's the shayla over there. So Rabbi Belsky held that if there's no other bathroom, you could definitely use an automatic toilet. But again, you definitely can. C-A-N, definitely can.
Okay.
You definitely could. Rabbi Belsky said there's no question.
No, he'd tell you this. I don't mean to...
No, 100%.
I'd say you can go from the side where you don't have to go in front of the...
Yeah.
In front of the thing also.
Something. Right? If you could.
Realize it before.
If you don't realize it before, you're just doing it. Someone was telling me that Sala members mapped out. They know all the different bathrooms in the hospitals. They know already.
What you can't,
what's automatic, what's not automatic. So, yeah.
Same
problem.
Correct.
I'm like, unbelievable. Your shops and I just realized.
Really?
So they do, Zephyr Yom Kippur, they covered all these
sensors. The truth is, these shilohs come up a lot because a lot of people now, I've gotten a lot of shilohs about this, people go with like family to hotels for Shabbos. You know, and it's a very nice thing. You go with a couple, you take a couple rooms, and they just go to relax. The problem is everything's electric there.
Right.
Besides for the bigger shiloh, and this we'll leave with, the shilohs, the ones in the room, some of them do, they have the magnetic, those are electric.
No, the bathrooms?
No, just to get in and out of your apartment. Yeah, the keys. But that's the old story, right? But the bigger shaila is, this is really a totally different topic, is you have to get an Eruv Echatzeris in a hotel. That's a whole different topic for conversation. But that's already beyond today. But this is something you got to be aware of. So if you're taking care of those...
That's only if you leave the premises of the building.
No, it's going to be if you're going to walk in the hallways, to go from room to room, and even in the hallway, you need an Eruv Echatzeris. Yeah, sure, that's a Eruv Echatzeris, yeah. So that's very complicated. And hospitals are less complicated, but hotels are very complicated. People go to hotels with their families, beautiful. I think it's great, but you got to just be aware of some of the issues. Okay, everybody say, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. Wish everyone should be safe and healthy. We shouldn't need to know these halachas. But Mr. Shem, it should be a schuss for all those. And tonight's learning, Michael. You forgot to remind me. Was it should be a schuss? Aliyah Neshama. And a schuss for Fushlan.